The Old Testament reading for Utica is written in Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and we will come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Hebrews chapter 9. "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The sermon for Utica Sunday is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Thus far the text. An interesting and very important point of biblical doctrine that is proclaimed within the Old Testament text for today is revealed when Abraham didn't, of his own volition, look around to determine what else could be sacrificed instead of his son. It's not like he said, Oh, wait a second, I want to rethink this. Let's see, what else can we use here? Oh, there's a ram caught in a thicket over there. Oh, there's a bird. Right? He didn't of his own, as if he, on his own, could even begin to say, there's the ram. I'll use, because I'm so smart and I've figured this out, I'll use the ram instead of my son. I'll kill it to save my son. I thought of that all on my own. The staying of Abraham's hand had to come as God declared it to be so. As God so provided for him. And so it is that is how it happened. Think of how you would think if it was asked of you. Do you see how it has to come of God? It has to come of God. The weakness of our flesh would try to look for anything else to sacrifice. The wood is on Isaac's back. The fire and the knife are in Abraham's hand, but where is the lamb? If there is no lamb, then Isaac must die. He must die for his sins. For this miracle child born to an old barren woman, this laughing bundle of joy provided in Abraham's old age. This miracle child is a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. The wages must be paid. If there is no lamb, then Isaac must die. But there is a lamb. God provides. In the last instant, the knife is stayed at God's ordaining. The ram is caught in the thicket. He is bound to the altar, and his blood pours forth instead of Isaac's. Isaac lives and goes free. The ram dies in his place, the scapegoat for the guilty. That ram and all of the Old Testament sacrifices point to the sacrifice of your Lord Jesus Christ, whose death has made atonement for all the sins of all men. Through the sacrifice of that ram, by faith, Abraham sees the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the day that the Lord has made, the day that the builders rejected the stone that God made the chief cornerstone. He saw Jesus Christ's day of atonement, and he rejoiced in it. For by faith, Abraham saw Good Friday. He saw the innocent die for the guilty, the wrath of the Father appeased in the one and only perfect sacrifice. He made the connections. That's what was seeing the day of the Lord. He made the connections. God revealed it to him. He also saw Easter morning, where death, hell, and the devil were defeated for him, for Isaac, and for the sake of the world. Abraham's son was returned to him from certain death. Both were spared the torments of hell. Thus, Abraham believed that God would provide, that by grace he and his son would journey to a better country, and his sorrow and suffering would one day end. And by that innocent death outside of Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets, by that innocent death, it is so. For neither Abraham nor Isaac truly died, nor any of the believing prophets, but they passed through death to life, for they believed in the Messiah through God's holy scriptures. They live because Jesus lives, and they believed the promise. God is not a God of the dead. He is the one true God, the life-giving God of the living. But still, despite that great miracle of providing, despite that amazing miracle event that happened in their lives that you know they spoke of with their family, you know Isaac told this to his sons. Isaac's sons still had to learn this lesson for themselves. Jacob, the second born of Isaac, the chosen one, is a scoundrel in the first order. And Esau is a pagan. But God intersects, he interacts and intervenes in their lives. He shows his power unto them and unto you through mercy and grace. Yet it happens again, still in the same way. The sons of Jacob then will have their trials, wrestling with God constantly. They will almost kill and then exile their father's best-loved son, Joseph. But God will work that, too, for his good. He will teach them, Jacob's sons, how God uses evil for good, and through that which was meant for evil, the good that comes about will reveal to them, to Jacob's sons, forgiveness and compassion. God will teach them love, despite their sin. Even through their sin, God will provide. And it goes on. Each generation learns anew about God, who provides out of compassion, mercy, and grace. And then, in the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit overshadows the Virgin. Your kinsman redeemer is born. He grows, is baptized, is tempted, and begins preaching. And then, according to John chapter 8, you hear how God placed him in the thicket of the temple, in the place where the sacrifices were made. There in the temple made with hands stood your brother born of Mary, the one and only true God without beginning, the temple not made with hands that would be torn down, torn to shreds, yet rebuild itself in 3 days. The Lord of life was there, surrounded by the aroma of life-giving death, surrounded by the aroma of sacrifice. There he stood as they stacked the accusations upon him and his back, preparing him for his sacrifice. To them, to the whole world, his love was unknown. Now, within a stone's throw of the mercy seat located in the temple, where God himself promised to be as a shield that protects his people from the wrath of God, there go the descendants again. The descendants of Jacob reject the Lord and pick up stones. They cannot convict him of sin. They cannot find any error in his teaching. There's no deviance, no change from Moses and the prophets in anything that Jesus says. They can't catch him. Nor can the Jews dispute of any of his miracles. So it is that they refuse him. Now they recognize his claim. That is, that he is the God of Jacob, that he is the cause and source of Abraham's salvation and rejoicing, the very reason that Isaac lives. But despite the evidence in their recognition of his claim, that's why we can say that they recognized his claim, because they picked up stones to kill him. His time had not yet come for many days and many years, but then it did. And when that illegal ragtag court convened in the hours of darkness before the dawn, Caiaphas, brought this very charge against Jesus yet again, the false charge of blasphemy. The innocent dies for the guilty. They meant it for evil, but God meant it and worked it for the greatest good of all time. God yet again has supplied, has provided the bronze snake, having his son lifted high upon a pole so that all who are brought to keep their eyes fixed upon the one who became sin for them, to fully atone for sin, that they would be brought to believe and trust in what is promised through his body and blood, through the snake fulfilled, and by such grace, for his sake, through such faith, they live. And so it is still today. Men reject him out of hand. You yourselves, the spiritual descendants of Abraham, according to your sinful flesh, this frustrating stuff that we're still attached to, we have the same self-absorbed bend as Isaac, Jacob, and Judah. The children were children of violence, with greedy hearts and dirty minds. The deceit and crimes of Jacob and Joseph's brothers should be no scandal to you. Gracious, these days, sin and scandal are considered virtues, and they're laughed about, and so easily joined in with. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. You too must be taught to live by faith, to be brought to believe that God provides for sinners. And he does. The blood poured forth on Calvary, the body laid in the tomb, has been raised up again to life. The stuff of this sacrifice, his body and his blood, which has been given and shed for you to merit forgiveness, life, and salvation, that is what is promised, and that is what is provided for you to hear, to be baptized into, to eat and to drink, to unite you, to connect you to him. And those in faith who have gone before you, just as Buddy and just as Jane, his blood is what is promised to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God by being poured into your ears and over your heads and past your lips, all received by faith. As he abides in you, you abide in him, and you are of God. The Lord will provide, and he continually does through his word and sacraments delivered in his divine service to you. As Abraham saw the day of the Lord and rejoiced in it, calling it good, so you too shall have your eyes as Scripture would have you. You too would have your eyes fixed on Christ crucified and call it good as well. You too, as Abraham and Isaac shall, by faith alone, partake of what the Lord provides. Being set free, not determining on your own, but passively receiving. The church preaches Christ crucified, the one provided. And just like the sinner yet believing Isaac before you, like all the sinners brought to repentantly believe in the forgiveness promised through Christ, you believers walk away truly free because of his provided merits for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.